Cool. Fire.
Hey, I want to welcome everybody to Cool Fired Up. It's our weekly Facebook Live and podcast series where we're showcasing video production industry creatives and collaborators in the Midwest and beyond. And of course, you can catch the live version on Cool Fire Studios' Facebook page every week. So this series is for those of you out there looking to break into the production industry, digital marketers, or maybe you got that television series idea you just can't wait to get out, and maybe you just want to know where to start on all that stuff. Be sure to leave a comment or question, and we'll answer it on a future episode. And now my interview with Cool Fire founder Jeff Keane, right here on Cool Fired Up. Hey everybody, welcome to Fired Up Fridays here at 3 p.m. It's becoming a tradition.
Hey, let's keep the tradition going.
To really kick things off, you know, last week we had David Kidd from Steady Rain, but as we make this a Friday at 3 p.m. tradition, we really had to start at the start of Cool Fire, which, ladies and gentlemen, founder, president, extraordinaire dictator.
Not president.
That's true. Yeah.
That's somebody CEO.
That is somebody else who we'll have on later. I think he's wearing some jorts right now, so I don't think he passed Facebook's, you know, rules there. So
jorts are not allowed.
Jeff Keane, everybody. If you don't know, this is the guy who started Cool Fire, Cool Fire Studios. So we're going to be getting into some tips on breaking into the production business. I want to hear about your history. This really is all for you guys out there. So leave questions on our Facebook live stream. By all means, we want to know where you're at in your careers. How do you get a TV show concept? Everybody's got a great TV show idea.
Everybody does. Well, everybody doesn't have a great one. Everybody has one.
They have one. Yeah. How do you get it made?
Right.
You know, working in LA versus the Midwest versus the East Coast. We're going to be drawing from this guy's wealth of experience. Of course, it's brought to you by the legendary Hatfield & McCoy's whiskey, which was actually based off a TV show.
It was.
Yeah.
A TV show we did for History Channel, yeah.
Absolutely. So it's crazy to see how different IP, intellectual property, that's a buzzword you'll hear a lot in this biz, comes out of it. And this is actually available around town.
It's available all across the country, actually.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah.
All of your finer retailers in St. Louis.
Or when you're stopping on the way home, pick up some LHM.
Good stuff.
Make the night go smooth. When you're watching the Blues game, which we were just talking about, which we should clarify, playoff beard.
Playoff beard, yeah.
It'll be here
for at least till Monday.
Fair enough.
It could be going away Monday night, or it could stay for another.
What if it just keeps going and you got some Rip Van Winkle type stuff going?
I would bear the beard if we can get to the cup.
So. Bear the beard for the cup.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Let's get into it, breaking into the production business. But first, let's start where it all began, Jeff. It's 2000. Well, let's even go back further. Was media always something growing up that you were into? And when did you first realize this could be a career that you could actually make something of?
Well, I watched a lot of TV as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
as I think probably you did as
okay,
well.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I mean, always had a love affair with television.
Uh-huh.
Sports, cartoons, game shows. I was a big game show fanatic when
really?
I was a kid. Yeah. When I was younger, people say, you know, what are you going to be when you grow up? I would say I'm going to be a game show host. That's what that was one of my aspirations.
And what were the Family Feud?
The old 70s game shows, Match Game, The Pyramid, Family Feud, High Rollers with Alex Trebek. I mean, I loved all those shows. I watched all the game shows.
Nice. A little Speed Racer I know you're a fan of.
Big Speed Racer fan. Yeah, I used to come home every day after school and get my ding-dongs and watch Speed Racer. Always loved TV and always sort of dreamed of someday being able to work in television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't really know exactly how that would come to fruition, but fortunately it has.
And did you study for this? When did you tell your parents, hey, I really want to get serious about this? What do they think? Because I'm sure a lot of people watching are in that boat where it's like, should I do plan B? Should this be plan A? It's a tough industry and there's a lot of perceptions around it, a lot of them true.
Yeah. Well, I did get a mass communication degree.
So I
studied radio and television in college, you know, and that, I guess, was sort of the first step. I mean, I'm not sure that completely prepared me, but
right.
But you know, you learn some things there. Once I kind of got into my degree, the mass communication program, and started taking those classes, that's when it really started to gel in my mind that that's what I wanted to do. So.
Got it. And would you say, advice-wise, if someone's out there, they're in high school even, or maybe, you know, thinking about switching career paths, is film school for everybody, and is it a guaranteed path to success? Or what's
I don't know. I mean, I didn't really go to film school per se, so I don't know if that's the right path. But I think, you know, some degree that's related to media or television or film is probably the way to go if you want to work in television.
Gotcha.
It's not a must. I mean, I know lots of people that work in the business that got a degree in, you know, political science mm-hmm. or computer programming. So you can't always pivot, but I think it's helpful if you have that degree, probably.
Yeah, and as a film school grad, I actually have a theory that some of the best directors we work with in town didn't go to film school. Yeah. They have, like, fine arts majors and yeah. things, or even architects, because it gives them a little bit different of a perspective on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the real important thing, whether you're going to school for it or not, if you love it and if you have a passion mm-hmm. for it, do it. I mean, do it. Do it all the time. Do it regularly. I mean, with the cost of equipment and the technology that's out there now, there's no reason why you can't be out making films all the time. And yeah. and making those films and getting that practice and that repetition and being creative, I mean, that's going to go a long way towards getting you where you want to go.
It is amazing, and you and I are fairly close in age as far as the technologies mm-hmm. we grew up with in college, you know, maybe working on 3/4-inch decks
right.
and things like that.
Yeah.
How just, you know, the very fact of going into a software store back in the day and you'd say, hey, I want, you know, a drive that I can get video into my computer. They would yeah. laugh you out of the room.
Yeah.
What led you to Kentucky? This is a little fact that before I met you. Okay.
That's what led me to Kentucky.
Okay, all right.
I didn't
wow.
go there on my own, you know. Sort
all
of.
Right.
No, I got married and my wife was still in school.
Okay.
She went to the University of Kentucky, so we moved there while she finished up school, and that's where I kind of started my career.
And sports reporting, right?
Yeah, I worked at the NBC affiliate in Lexington.
Okay.
And I actually lied my way into a job there.
Okay, another tip for you.
Sure, yeah, lie your way into a job. Actually, I got a job at the radio station doing some news and sports on the radio, but I really wanted to work at the TV station. So I went over there, I knew a guy over there, and he said, well, can you work a camera?
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah.
I can point it.
Kind of. I really never had used, I mean, at that time it was a big old beta cam.
Right,
you know?
Oh yeah.
There's a million switches on it. I didn't know how to use any yeah. of that stuff. So he actually had one of the camera guys take me out behind the building, show me how to use the camera. And then the next day I went in and had an interview with the mm-hmm. news director. And he said, so Jeff, I understand you know how to use a camera. And I said, absolutely.
Yes, sir, certified.
So I got hired to shoot high school sports. That was my first job at the station and started shooting high school sports and then shot some college sports and then got to do a little editing, got to do a little reporting, got to do a little producing and just kind of made myself useful around there. And, you know, in a medium size or a smaller right. market like that, if you show up and you hustle a little bit and you show that you're willing to work, they'll just keep giving you stuff to do. So
and I think that's a great point and another tip. It's just showing up is truly
yeah.
half of the battle.
Be there, show some initiative,
yes.
work hard.
Yes.
And in the beginning, you're going to get little things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do the little things well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do the little things well, pretty soon they'll give you bigger things. And then you do those well, and you know, the next thing you know, you're doing something of substance.
Right, so. Right. People keep throwing more and more yep. responsibility.
Absolutely.
So what brought you back to St. Louis?
Once my wife graduated from college, it was funny. We were actually sitting in our tiny little one-bedroom apartment in Lexington, Kentucky,
right.
and she had graduated. And I looked at her one day and I said, why are we still in Lexington?
Right.
Why don't we go home?
Right.
And it was just sort of like this light bulb went off. Oh, yeah, we could move home if we wanted to. So we moved back to St. Louis. Neither one of us had jobs, but we moved back. And then eventually I got the job at Busch Creative.
This is a whole learning network they had for wholesalers?
Yeah, I mean, at that time, that didn't exist.
Okay.
I mean, that came along a little bit later. At the time, you know, Busch Creative was a subsidiary of Anheuser-Busch. Did a lot of their creative work, did video production,
mm-hmm.
special events, meetings, things like that. So I got on in the sort of the video department, and my job was as a production assistant at the very, very bottom
mm-hmm.
of a company of about 200 people at the time. And my job literally in the beginning was to get coffee and bagels. That was my job. So whenever there was a big meeting, some executive from Anheuser-Busch, my job was providing the drinks and the bagels and the coffee. And, you know, I didn't take that lightly. I did it as well as you can do that job. And then pretty soon I started getting other little things to do, and people started trusting me with more, and I kind of worked my way up. And after a couple of years, I was a producer and producing videos. And that's when the whole Busch Satellite Network kicked off and started producing all that content for Anheuser-Busch wholesalers.
And I think there's an important tip there. Even when you're just getting started, entry level, I think one tip I try to tell kids starting, know how to read a room.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. walking in, and especially in an environment like Anheuser-Busch where you're mm-hmm. on the brand side now,
yep.
there's a culture.
Yep.
Right?
There is a culture, and you do need to read the room. And in most cases, you probably just need to keep your mouth closed.
It's true. And I think we're in a society where everybody gets to share, and you know, social media might make you think that the world revolves around you.
Yeah, it probably doesn't.
Sometimes, right?
It probably doesn't, yeah.
Right, right. Sometimes just kind of knowing when to speak up, when not to, and pick your spots.
Yeah, and it's tough because, you know, I was a young kid, but I was smart and mm-hmm. eager and aggressive, and you know, when I'm getting coffee and bagels, I know that I can do more than that.
Right.
And I want to do more than that. but you got to be patient. You know, the time will come. And so it's tough when you're doing something that's below you. I say below you in terms of your skill level.
Right.
I think when you go into a job, you have to have the attitude that nothing's below me. Mm-hmm. You got to be willing to do anything.
That's a great point.
But in terms of what your skill level is, these tasks might be below you, but you've got to be willing to do those things for a period of time. And again, my belief is that if you do those things well, eventually you won't have to do those things anymore.
What was that first opportunity somebody tossed you? Do you remember how?
Yeah, I think there was a producer that was producing a video and he needed some help. And I helped him collect some assets. And then I got to sit in the edit suite with him.
Oh, wow.
And he actually asked my opinion on some things, and I had some thoughts and ideas.
I think Duran.
It was great. I mean, I was very fortunate. There were a couple of people at Bush Creative that really believed in me and really gave me opportunities and gave me chances to do things when I was still a pretty young kid. So it was pretty cool.
And now you get to pay that forward.
Sure, absolutely.
Noticed, yeah, a lot of people have that attitude in this industry.
Absolutely. You've got to do that. You can't get anywhere in this business without somebody giving you some breaks. You have a responsibility to turn around when you have the chance and do the same thing for somebody else.
Yeah. We've got a great Facebook question about challenges. Jeff Face getting into this field. I want to get to that because specifically you leave BSN and then do the independent producer route? Or what
was
that
like? I worked as a freelance producer for several years after that, producing and directing and writing. You know, that has its own challenges,
right,
but it can be really rewarding too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I left there and freelance, and you're sort of your own boss and you sort of make your own schedule. And, you know, if you hustle, you can make pretty good money doing it. I'd been at Bush Creative long enough that I sort of made some contacts and knew some people and kind of knew the lay of the land fairly well. And so I was able to go out and hustle and get some clients and
so maybe
kind of work for myself for a while.
That's another good tip you bring up as far as like freelance. I imagine it'd be hard to start without a client base.
Yeah.
You know, start at an agency first or something or a brand side.
That would be my advice. I mean, I think starting at a company, getting your feet on the ground, learning, you know, working in a team environment where you can see people that have more experience with you and learn from them and understand how they do it. I think all of that's really good before you kind of go out on your own. You know, and people ask me a lot about, you know, when did you know it was time to start your own business? I always wanted to start my own business, but it took me a number of years to get to the place where I felt like I was really ready to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was learning, it was experience, it was having the client base and the connections in the industry and knowing the marketplace and all of those things. You know, and it took me probably about 10 years to get to the place where I felt like I was ready to start my own company.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Here in St. Louis, what was the motivation for starting Cool Fire and just sort of what were those early thoughts as you mentioned?
Well, always wanted to have my own business. Knew when I was working at Bush Creative or even freelancing that I wasn't ready for it yet probably. But always wanted to have my own business. And eventually I just felt like I got to the place where I was ready. I did have some clients that I thought I could use to sort of launch the business. And I had made some friends in the business that I thought could come with me and help me start that company as well. So I think it's just a matter of maturing, timing being right, having some clients, having some people that wanted to come in and do it with me. And so we just decided to give it a shot.
So let's talk about that Facebook question there. What were the biggest challenges? I mean,
money.
Yeah, right? let's face it, right?
I mean, there's lots of challenges when you start a business. I had never run my own business. Didn't have a business degree, didn't have an MBA. So really kind of learning on the fly and trying to use a lot of common sense to figure out how to run a business and how to manage employees, but just a lot of learning on the job. So, you know, a big learning curve, I think, just in starting a business, running a business, managing people, dealing with clients, you know, and then of course there's the financial pressures. I mean, it's always tough starting a business, always takes some time to build up that business and build up your customer base and get your cash flow to sort of a normal place. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, financial stresses are always there when you start a new business.
Yeah, and I would say it's good for folks, if you are thinking about starting your own business, to really kind of know your strengths and things too. And like they have, okay, hey, here's a money person or here's someone who can really track invoices and P&L reports.
Sure.
And maybe, you know, my strength is more new business and going out and just having a, you know, the vision for it. I mean, I would encourage folks to not be afraid to offline some
Absolutely.
Of the weaknesses.
And I think a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of people that start businesses, the tendency is to try to hold on to everything and do everything. Because you're afraid that somebody else won't do it well or won't do it right. And if your business is ever going to grow, you have to let go of certain things. You have to trust other people to do certain things. And you have to let them do what they do well, and you have to do what you do well. That was a tough one for me because in the beginning, I did a little bit of everything. I was selling and producing and keeping the books. And that's not a good recipe for growth because there's only so much time in the day. So if your business is growing and you continue to try to do all those things, you just won't be able to do it. So for me, it was a matter of letting go and trusting other people and really building a good team and letting those people do what they do well.
Right. So that is another great tip. We've had a comment, why aren't we drinking the whiskey? So I guess we'll just start to, can we just tear into this thing here?
We can.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we're tearing into the whiskey. I'm just littering your office here.
There we go. Let's light up the bottle here.
There we go.
We got our Listed Sisters glasses.
There we go. Listed Sisters. When can I watch that? Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. CST on HGTV, I believe.
That's exactly right.
There we go. There's two of you.
That's a lot of whiskey drinking. I'll take about half that much.
It's been a long week.
That's good.
There we go.
You gotta smell it first.
Yes, there we go. Show us the proper way
It smells so good.
There we go. Well, of course, right? It's legendary so Hatfield and McCoy's. Fair enough. Available nationwide.
We're gonna toast.
Salute, amigo. There we go.
To Facebook Live.
To Fired Up Fridays and Facebook Live. So you've started the company. The clients are coming in. Let's get to the TV side. That's a bold move for St. Louis. I mean, and a little bit crazy. I'm sure a lot of people told you that can't even be done. We have so many people that you would thank and give shout-outs to. But just talk about the general sort of impetus of 2008.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably not the wisest thing. you know, in retrospect, we launched that division of the company in a time where the economy wasn't great. But also just, like you said, trying to do it here from St. Louis, a lot of people sort of were skeptical as to whether we could pull that off. But we were determined to do it. You know, there were a couple of people here at Cool Fire that really had a passion for storytelling and original programming. We dabbled in it a little bit in our early years at Cool Fire. We did a prep sports show here locally. We did a magazine show for the Cardinals called The Cardinals Insider. We did one for the Rams called The Rams Insider. So we had done some original programming here on a local and a regional level. But we really wanted to go bigger. We wanted to sell national television shows to cable networks. And so, you know, we were committed to doing it. We went for it and we really put a lot into it and we were determined to make it work. Failure was really not an option for us. I think we took a smart approach. You know, I've been in the business here in St. Louis in the video production community for a long time and I've seen other people try to produce shows and try to do some of the things that we've done. And it's difficult if you don't have the right plan. And there's a few key things that I think are important and that really led to our success. First of all, we had some really great people, some smart people that had experience doing this kind of thing. So that was key, having the right team in place. We also, like we said, we were determined to be successful. And so we took the attitude of, we're gonna do whatever it takes to sell one TV show. And if that means we gotta partner up, if that means we gotta give up things, if that means we're not gonna make any money, and even potentially losing money on that first show, as long as we can sell a show and our name is on it, that's the first step. And that's the hardest and the most important step because we knew once we sold one show, selling the second one would be easier and the third one would be easier, et cetera, et cetera. So selling that first one was gonna be the hardest. And so we were determined and we went at it with the attitude of we will do whatever it takes to sell that first TV show. And so what we did was we partnered up with another bigger production company. We had to give up a lot. We gave up a lot of the money, a lot of the control, but we sold that show. Our name is on it. We're executive producers of it. And we took that chip and we moved on to the next one and the next one and the next one. So I think that was really key. Not holding on too tightly to your idea, being able to partner, being able to give up things to get things done, make deals to get things done, knowing that down the road we'd have more control, knowing that down the road we'd get better deals and that we'd make more money off of our shows. But that first one's always the toughest. So we did whatever it took and that strategy was successful.
And that's a great point and another tip for you guys out there who have TV show ideas, and I've seen it since I've been here. You know, sometimes you've got that great idea and maybe it does spark a little bit of interest. Don't freak out, okay? Don't start lawyering up and sort of you can protect yourself and things. But I've seen so many great concepts just sort of fall apart. When people start to get too precious.
They get precious and greedy, and greedy too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you recall, we had a scripted idea that we actually sold to FX. We sold a scripted pilot, a big win for our company.
Yeah.
And one of the people that we partnered with held on a little too tightly. And, you know, ultimately we didn't get that.
And it never got made.
Yeah.
We just
couldn't get the deal done. You know, we just couldn't come together on terms. And
so huge tip. If you do happen to be lucky enough to get past that first, you know, crazy test of sort of, hey, this is a solid idea, fits along with network mandates. Because a lot of time it's not what you want. It's not what Steve wants. It's not what Tim wants.
It's what the networks want.
It's what the networks want. And that changes Like the wind.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the tough thing. Keeping up with what they want is very difficult because you think you have something and then by the time you get it to them, they've changed their mind and want something different. So you got to move quickly in the business. You got to take a lot of swings to get enough base hits. That's another one. You can't hold on tightly to any one project because it takes a lot of swings to get wins. You just got to keep going at it. And yeah, it's tough too because you get emotionally invested in these projects and mm-hmm. not every one of them is going to sell.
Right. You got to let your babies go.
And you never know which ones are going to sell and which ones right. aren't going to sell. And so you try not to get too high and try not to get too low. That's been a tough lesson, I think, for a lot of us to learn is it can be devastating when something doesn't sell that you thought was going to sell. And, you know, it's elation when you sell something.
Right.
So can't get too high, can't get too low. Got to keep churning. Keep the pipeline of ideas full,
yeah.
keep pitching all the time, and try to put enough wins on the board to keep a business alive.
So what do you guys out there want to know about pitching TV shows? You've got a show concept. Where do I start with some of these things? We're here with Jeff Keane. He can tell you his advice, his perspective on working in the television industry. So let's talk about one of the questions we had earlier from Delisa. How do you choose which projects to move forward with?
Yep.
What makes a good product for a TV show or a web series? Yep. Also, would there be a rebroadcast of the session? Yes, it'll be on the Facebook thing. So let's start with, how do you choose which projects to move forward with?
Well, I mean, we have a whole development team here at mm-hmm. CoolFire, and we have ideas and projects in various phases of development, but it all starts with an idea. We have development and sort of pitch and idea meetings all the time. We kick those around our team. We talk about what we like, what we don't like, mm-hmm. what we think is a good idea, what isn't. We do a lot of research. We watch a lot of TV to see mm-hmm. what's working on TV and what's successful. We have relationships with network executives, so they gave us intelligence right. about what the networks are looking for, what types of projects they want at mm-hmm. any given time. Mm-hmm. We have agents. We're represented by CAA, a talent agency. They get intelligence that they share with us about what networks are looking for, what's been pitched, what didn't work, what just sold, what network just bought what project. So mm-hmm. we get a lot of marketplace intelligence that informs how we develop. Mm-hmm. And so all of that sort of influences which projects bubble up to the top of our development slate mm-hmm. and which ones sort of fall out and go away.
Got it. So here's the big question. Yeah. I know you guys out there on Facebook are all wanting to know. I've got a great idea. I've got a wacky uncle. He's a lot of fun. Yeah. How do I get in touch with you, Jeff, and CoolFire? Yeah. Make me a star. I want to do this. I want to sign. This is perfect for Animal Planet.
I mean, the truth is we're really collaborative. Mm-hmm. We make deals with independent producers all the time. Mm-hmm. Many of the shows that you see of ours that are on TV right now were deals that were brought to us by independent producers. We came together, we struck a deal, and mm-hmm. we went out and developed it and sold it and produced it. So we're very collaborative. We want ideas. On our website, there is a way to go about submitting and mm-hmm. pitching us ideas, and that's the way to do it. Probably not best to call us or anything like that, but go through the website, and there's a whole process for submitting ideas, and if we like it, we'll get in touch with you, and we'll talk it through and see if there's a deal to be made.
Yeah, and I think even doing your homework up front before pitching the ideas, seeing if there's anything else out there, making sure that, you know, this person doesn't have a development deal with another company, things
like that. Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times people pitch us things, mm-hmm. and we'll go, hey, you know, that show's already on the Food Network. Have you seen such and such show? That's the show you just pitched me.
So, American Idol with food.
You'd be surprised. I mean, how many people come in here and they pitch us something, and we'll go, you know, what do you watch on TV? Right. Oh, I don't watch TV.
Right.
You don't watch TV?
Right.
Why are you pitching me a TV show? I mean, you have to have some understanding of what's out there,
right.
what's on, what networks are doing, what kind of programming, what's working,
right.
what's popular. That has to come into play when you're pitching an idea. Know your stuff. Do a little bit of homework.
Be professional about the reach out. You know, not a rambling email or anything.
And the things that are really selling shows right now, big characters.
Yeah.
Big characters doing interesting things. You know, that's what's working. And again, like we were talking about earlier, Jeremy, you know, everybody thinks they've got that crazy uncle. Or, you know, the truth is your uncle's probably not that crazy. You know, the people that you think are funny,
right.
oh, my brother, he's so funny. He should have his own TV show.
Everybody.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, there needs to be something a little more. It's off the charts unusual, off the charts funny, off the charts strange, off the charts big personality that's a starting point. And then there's got to be something around that, some sort of construct or world or other people or supporting characters that make that work. But no, I mean, we're happy to take submissions, and we're always looking for great ideas and great characters.
We've got a Facebook question here. Let's see here. Oh, Tim, shout out to Tim watching at 35,000 feet above, and he wants a 30 35,000 foot view of production as a career. Well, I think he's getting the 50,000 foot.
Yeah.
He wants to zoom in on that. To Jeff, what qualities make a good leader? There's a Facebook question. That's a, wow, okay. That one, suddenly we're in a motivational speaker. That's a big one, yeah?
I guess the best that I could say is really understanding what everybody's strengths are and trying to put everybody in a place where they can succeed and contribute the most to the team. I mean, I think that's the beginning of leadership. You know, it's cliche, but I think you lead by example. You work hard and you're passionate about what you do. And I've always tried to surround myself with people that are smarter than me and better than me. And again, find the right spot for them, put them in a place to succeed, and then kind of get out of their way and let them do what they do best.
So my question to you is, what keeps you here in St. Louis and all these jobs here in St. Louis as far as just the challenges of being in the Midwest that you guys have, again, turned into, you know, an advantage in many ways?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's key. We had a lot of people say, yeah, I don't know if that'll work from St. Louis. You know, what you're doing probably really hasn't been done from St. Louis on any large scale before. There's going to be challenges to doing it from St. Louis. And we said, you know, we get that. We understand that. But I think there's also some distinct advantages to being in St. Louis. And so what we did was we really focused on what we thought were the advantages. And the big advantage for us is that the major cable networks are really programming to the middle of the country. And we're right smack in the middle of the country. And so there are all these great characters and ideas and stories right here in our backyard that have not been mined because most of the production companies are on the West Coast or the East Coast.
Right.
So we were determined that our point of difference really was that we were going to tell authentic Midwestern stories with authentic Midwestern characters, and we've had tremendous success doing that. And the cable networks have really responded to that. And I think that's how we've kind of distinguished ourselves.
That's a great answer. So let's get into breaking in. Let's say I'm a guy like Paul up there, right? Graduating when? When are you graduating?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow from Webster University. Shout out to our friends at Webster.
Yeah.
Jeff, what's a guy and gal in 2016 going to do with their, what's your major, Paul?
What is media communications.
Media communications.
I don't know what that means.
What advice do you have to those guys out there?
Well, I mean, it depends on what they want to do and where they want to do it, for starters. You know, the good news is, and one of the things that I think that we're most proud of here at Cool Fire is that if you want to work in television, you no longer have to go to New York or Los Angeles to do it. You can now legitimately stay here in St. Louis. You can work for Cool Fire and you can produce national cable TV shows and have your name up on the screen, you know, on History Channel or Discovery or many other networks. So that's something that I think is really cool. That's something that we're really proud of. I was born and raised in St. Louis. I love St. Louis. I'm a homer. I'm a hometown guy. And to be able to do the thing that we love to do and do it here in St. Louis is really satisfying, and to be able to provide opportunities for other young people who want to do it here in St. Louis is also really satisfying. So that opportunity exists now. So what's the advice? Whether you're staying here or whether you're going to Los Angeles or New York, it's competitive. These jobs, if you're a creative person, these are really fun jobs and they're really satisfying jobs. And so you got to work hard and you got to do anything you can to get your foot in the door. I think you got to determine what you want to do, whether it's a thing that you want to do or whether it's a company that you want to work for, and do whatever it takes to get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
Whether that means I work for free or I do an unpaid internship or I do some job that's below the job that I really want, get your foot in the door and then work your butt off and make yourself indispensable.
Yeah.
So many times people have come in and if they're eager and proactive and take initiative and they start doing things, all of a sudden you kind of need that person and you don't want to see them go away.
Right, right.
So eventually you're going to have to start paying them.
Right.
You know, even if you weren't paying them in the beginning. Right. You got to work really hard in this business, especially in the beginning. You got to be willing to do something that's not exactly what you want to do. You know, and maybe the first job isn't at the company that you want to work for. Or maybe that first job isn't exactly what you want to do. But you use that as a stepping stone and you keep stepping up and up and up into the position that you eventually want to be in.
Right. So let's break this down. Options for like Paul, right?
Okay, sure.
You've got staying in the Midwest. Yep. What are the pros and cons of that?
What's Paul want to do?
Versus East Coast. Paul, what do you want to do?
Do you want to stay here or you want to leave?
I want to stay here for a couple of years, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's an interesting strategy that you can employ where you stay here, as we say, like, I don't want to say be a big fish in a small pond, but at least get some experience under your belt, get some credit, and then move to either coast. What's New York production like versus LA? You know, what's going on?
I mean, I haven't done a ton in New York. I think it's similar. What we do here in terms of making a TV show is exactly how they make
same
them
process.
In New York or Los Angeles. It's the same thing. I happen to think that we get to work with a little bit nicer people. Did I say that? Here in St. Louis.
Those Midwest values and sort of.
Yeah, no, I mean, think, you know, it is different. We're a certain type in the Midwest, and we like to be around a certain type of people, and we like to have a certain lifestyle, and you get all that stuff when you live here in St. Louis. So that's kind of nice. But at the end of the day, we're doing the same things.
Yeah. And I would tell, you know, a Webster grad like you, there is an advantage too. And if you would concur, go out to LA for a little bit.
Sure.
You can come back to St. Louis and you kind of got a little bit of that LA shine.
Got a little bit of swag.
Yeah.
And I think that's a strategy too. You know, if you can get your foot in the door out there and work a little bit, it might make coming back here and getting a job here easier, or it might make you a little more attractive coming back here. And to that point, we get that all the time. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we get phone calls and emails from people that say, hey, you know, I've been out in Los Angeles for the last 5 years or the last...
And we love it.
10 years, you know, but I just got married and I want to live in the Midwest. Or I'm having my first baby.
Right.
I want to raise my kids here in the Midwest. Or, you know, my mother and father are getting older. I want to be near them. So I want to come back to the Midwest.
Yeah.
We get this all the time. And that really works to our advantage too.
Yeah.
Because that gets us some great people that have great experience and we can just plug them in here and
AAA.
It really, you know, ups the quality of our production here.
Yeah. And there's production everywhere going on from Georgia and things. You can find this stuff going on.
Yep.
Or you can kind of make your own destiny. I mean, on the digital side we work on, it's like there's no excuse for you not having your own YouTube channel or something like that, or having a perspective on something and kind of be the expert in that platform. And eventually you're going to get someone that says, we need to work with that guy. Mm-hmm. So the opportunities are there. I mean, start your own Facebook live show. You can do it right now. That's what we can do. So
video blog. I mean,
video blog,
whatever.
There's so much stuff. And so much stuff.
Yeah, that gets back to doing it. You gotta do it.
Yeah. And just, you know, you and I coming up in the industry and things, and just I imagine, you know, the old days when I remembered you as the indie producer coming in and editing and stuff like that, how much it's all changed, yet stayed the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had YouTube just coming on in 2005 and things like that. And just the production gear alone. I mean, these kids won't know what it's like to, you know, digitize a tape.
I didn't have my first video camera until I was 25 years old.
Wow.
I didn't grow up with a video camera in my hand.
Wow.
I didn't have a computer even in college. I didn't have a computer.
Right.
So I didn't grow up with that technology. I didn't have the luxury of being able to just go out and make films whenever I wanted to. And so, like you said, there's no excuse right now to not be doing it. If you want to be in this business, you need to be doing it. Do it all through high school, through college, when you get out of college. And then the value of that is that when you're going to try to get a job, someone can actually see what you can do,
right?
That's different than a resume. A resume is just a piece of paper. You really can't tell that much from a resume or from the fact that someone has a degree. But if you can go, hey, go check out my YouTube channel and look at all these videos I made.
Right.
That's something really tangible. I go, oh, okay, that guy, he's got a sense of humor. He can write, he can produce, he can direct, he knows how to light, he knows how to handle a camera, he can edit, he knows how to use music. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that you can tell, and all of those are really useful skills that we can use right away. So I think doing it is so important, and like you said, there's just no reason not to do it.
Yeah, in a screenwriting class, you can say there's 100 bad scripts in you. You just got to get them out ahead of time. And while the kids have such great tools, the storytelling and sort of the basic things of just, you know, we'll see a lot of pretty pictures and things, but it doesn't always translate into a great story. So I think those skills are just something
you get by practicing too. You know, kind of that whole 10,000 hours thing. I mean, practice makes perfect. And the first little short film that you make in college, you're going to look back on those and laugh at them. I look back at, you know, stuff that I did back at Bush Creative and and you chuckle a little bit, but all of that is what led you to where you are. And you got to do it. You got to keep doing it. You got to hone your craft. You got to keep practicing, and you know, as you do it more and more, you get better at it.
So let's talk about the realities and the real challenges. This will be, you know, how we wrap it up. Any last questions, let us know. But I want to talk about, like, if you know you can do this for life, what are the things and the hurdles you're going to have to overcome? Be it client notes, be it all-nighters and things like that. What really are we talking about when we hit the front lines of this crazy business?
Well,
what are the highs and lows?
I mean, for me personally, the fact that we develop a lot of things and we get said no to a lot. I mean, that is a really tough thing.
Still at this level, which, you know, folks would look and say, Cool Fire, Mike, oh, you guys are successful.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of things we pitch get passed on.
Yeah.
You know, and so being able to handle rejection, being able to keep your chin up, keep moving forward, not take it personally, persevere through that. You know, in any aspect of this business, there's going to be a certain amount of that. There's going to be a certain amount of no's and rejection and failure. But, you know, you use that stuff to get smarter. You learn how to persevere through it. You know, eventually you get the win. So I think perseverance, being able to handle rejection and, you know, I say failure. That's not really failure when you try something and it doesn't succeed. But
you're learning.
You're learning, yeah. You know, and then, like I said, it's a competitive business. You got to work really hard to succeed. You got to set yourself above other people if you want to keep advancing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you do that by working hard and doing good quality work.
Part of the business is you get notes back from a network or a client.
Yeah, dealing with clients is tough. Whether it's a corporate client on the commercial side or whether it's network clients, they're tough. And again, you know, part of what you learn there is not holding on too tightly, because at the end of the day, for example, on a reality show, the network has final say.
Mm-hmm.
We put stuff in front of them and we have a vision for what we want it to be, and we craft that vision, but they have the luxury of saying no or change this or do that or we don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they get final say. So learning to deal with clients, learning to handle their feedback, learning how to handle their notes, learning how to handle having to change something when you might strongly disagree, but ultimately you have to.
Right.
So, you know, some people would say that that's compromising your integrity. I don't
paying the bill?
I don't agree with that. Right. I think it's a collaborative effort.
Right.
And the truth is sometimes they maybe know things that you don't know.
You know?
So they may be giving you a note and you think that note sounds crazy and I don't agree with it. And maybe sometimes it is crazy. But other times, maybe they know something that you don't know. And so, you know, they're doing what they do best and you're doing what you do best. And you're collaborating to put this TV show on the air. So you really have to learn how to work through that and work with clients and take their notes and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So we've given you guys some great tips here on just breaking into the production business. By all means, leave some comments below and we'll still respond to those even after this video is not live. Jeff, where do you want to see Cool Fire in the next 5 to 10 years, man? I mean, did you ever think when you were starting over there at 415 that you'd be here putting network shows
on?
No,
it was, well, I never thought we'd be doing this in particular.
This morning, he didn't think we'd be doing
it. You never know. That's one thing I've learned is you never know really what's around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
When I started the company, could I have envisioned that this is where we'd be? No. But we've always moved forward. We've always been risk takers. We've always been entrepreneurial. And so I knew the company wouldn't be the same 10 years later as it was today. And I would say that I know that 10 years from now, we won't be what we are now. What will be exactly? I don't know.
Right.
I know that as opportunities come, we'll seize them. We'll try to make the most of them. I know as technology changes, we'll try to be on the forefront of that, try to stay ahead of it. I know that we'll always keep hiring the best people and try to do the best work that we can possibly do. But where exactly that leads us, I mean, really, your guess is as good as mine.
I see it in 5 years from now, we're redoing this, but we have our VR helmets on, we're all Oculus Rift, and we've got these body suits and stuff. So
I mean, I know we'll be producing great content. That's about it.
Yeah, that's the only thing we can control, right? Great content. Well, thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate it, man. Thank you, everybody. Leave comments below and join us next week, Friday, 3 p.m. for Fire Up Fridays. We're fired up about Facebook Live. We're fired up about making great content, putting on TV shows, making great commercials. We're going to continue to showcase our collaborative partners, agencies, brands, and places we work with, people we work with, cool things. But this is all for you. Let us know what you guys want to see, whether it's breaking into the production business, whether it's how do I get my TV show on, or just cutting through the clutter online. Let us know. We want to be here for you. We'll see you guys next time on Fire Up Fridays next week, 3 p.m. We'll have something. Talk soon.
Hey, thanks for listening to our Cool Fired Up interview with Cool Fire Studios founder Jeff Keane. Now, we've got some great episodes coming up. Next episode, we're going to have social media tips with Cool Fire's Chelsea McGinnis and Dion Joffre. They know a lot about navigating the social media landscape, so anyone who has a business looking to cut through the clutter, these gals were full of great, great tips on that. So be sure to subscribe to not miss an episode. Be sure to leave a question in the comments section. Leave a review. Like us on Facebook so you don't miss any of the live shows. And of course, you can watch the live show every week on Cool Fire Studios Facebook page. Hey, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next episode.